This could be the end of the system. This could be the end of fashion. This could be the end of who the hell cares. This is my life. Do I really know what I'm doing? Do I really
The Alan Clarkson Weekly Review, Current Technology Analysis, Show Number 26, March 10th and 11th, 2006, www.ourmedia.org/user/38467. This week's intro music is available on the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. The artist is the Parlotones, the track Overexposed. A quick celebration. This podcast marks the 26th weekly edition, and by my math, 6 months of this. Thank you for listening and for your comments. I do keep my volunteer spirit up. In this week's show, we look at the changeable web and live clipboard. The buzz is origami. A legal case involving destruction of data in violation of the CFAA. And for the Because You Can site, shoes. And now on to the show. The changeable web and live clipboard. Ray Ozzie is the chief technology officer at Microsoft Corporation. In his position, he has, among other advantages, a team of developers led by his brother who can manifest his ideas in code. Just think of it. Tell brother man about it and watch it fly. Or so the myth goes. I'm relatively certain that Mr. Ozzie is quite adept at developing the ideas into code himself, but he has the luxury and opportunity afforded by working with a team whose leader he is able to communicate with, like, well, a brother. Out of this collaborative environment comes a very interesting little snippet of software that can be embedded into any web page, free and clear, under the Creative Commons license. The snippet demonstrates a concept that may just launch a host of web-based applications that can truly and meaningfully interact with the desktop. Any browser, any desktop. Sort of. But we'll leave out the sticky technical details for now. The concept is labeled Live Clipboard and uses microformats to transfer structured data among websites and desktop applications. In theory, and with properly structured data, one could transfer contact information from Microsoft Outlook to an online store, saving time filling out forms. One might also transfer calendar items among various services or interfaces. For the technology to really take off, however, web developers will need to identify and code a great many more useful interchanges than just calendar and contact information. It is often difficult to envision what users might want from a technical capacity, but applications might be found for communicating XML data among open document format spreadsheets, or even database elements among previously unrelated web services. Live Clipboard only works for structured data, and then only if the site and the desktop application can programmatically interpret the format. That's the technical kicker. For those of you familiar with the inner workings of Windows-based applications, the concept of object linking and embedding is nothing new. It's a standard of sorts, however, developed over years of agreement, or dictate, about the structure data must have in order to be moved from one application to another. The clipboard doesn't require a format. It is an empty vessel buffer. But the application receiving the clipped data needs to understand its structure in order to render something meaningful. The accessibility of XML structures allows just that. With open document formats relying heavily on XML, all that is required, easy in theory, time-consuming in code, is to map those formats to the live clipboard data types, and voila! The world is available for interchange on your clipboard. On web pages where you currently see print this page or email this page, you may soon see icons for clip this page, or send all links to delicious, or open all links in tabs. Cool little tricks like that that allow users to, in Ray Ozzie's terms, rewire the web. See the show notes for links to the technical description of Live Clipboard and several articles discussing the technology. The buzz is origami. For about 3 weeks now, the geek websites and tech press discussion groups have been abuzz with talk of the Origami platform from Microsoft. The platform appears almost ready for prime time. Attendees at last week's CeBIT Consumer Electronics Show in Hanover, Germany, saw one of the first devices to demonstrate this device, which appears to be an ultra-portable computer somewhere between a laptop and a PDA. The device is roughly half the size of a standard piece of copier paper, with a touch screen and a modified version of Windows XP. Games companies, mobility fanatics, Microsoft, Intel, and various hardware manufacturers are lining up behind the device that has yet to demonstrate a significant consumer market. The projected price may help, however, coming in initially at under $1,000 and eventually under $500, a price point bound to be attractive for a device that has the computing power of a tablet PC with the portability of a paperback book. The device will probably be available by late second quarter in the U.S., with release dates globally a bit more fluid. If the device is successful, it's expected to cut into the portable game device market, such as Sony's PSP and Nintendo's offerings, as well as the low-cost laptop market. Powered by single-core Intel processors running at 900 MHz, it may not be the most powerful device to enter the market, but low energy consumption and portability are sure to make up for whatever minimal processing power compromises are made. See the show notes for a discussion of Samsung's device shown at CeBIT, and articles discussing both Microsoft's and Intel's stake in developing the devices. The legal case is International Airports v. Citroen. This week's case, decided this past Wednesday, March 8, 2006, considers the scope of the term transmission in the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, or CFAA. The CFAA prescribes specific criminal and civil remedies for accessing a computer without authorization or exceeding authorization, with the intent to destroy data contained on that computer. In the present case, International Airports, or IAC, lent a computer to Mr. Citroen for data collection while he served as an agent of the company in analyzing potential acquisition targets in real estate and airport management. The relationship of agency is a legally significant one, in that it imparts certain authorization to the agent from the company, but also strictly prescribes that authorization as well. Mr. Citroen quit IAC to begin working with a competitor, and upon returning the laptop to the company, apparently had erased files from it using a shredding or scrubbing program that rendered the files unrecoverable. Ordinarily, deleted files might be recovered using special software, but the files removed by Mr. Citroen were unrecoverable. IAC filed suit, alleging violation of the CFAA by virtue of the transmission of the eraser software in a means that exceeded authorized access. The trial court entered summary judgment for the defendant, finding that no transmission had occurred, so the CFAA did not apply. The appeals court disagreed and reversed the trial court's summary judgment, finding instead, through extensive and cogent analysis, that transmission may occur either across a network or similarly through a device attached locally to a computer. The court did state specifically that typing commands into a computer from the keyboard is probably beyond the scope of transmission, as the keyboard is an integral part of a single system. But loading a program from external storage, like a CD-ROM, floppy disk, or USB device, is analogous to downloading the program from the internet or sending the program across a network. Based on that analysis, the appeals court remanded the case back to the trial court for a rehearing and review of the additional elements of the CFAA claims, presumably including, but not specifically mentioning, damage requirements, authorization, and other elements of the claim. See the show notes for a link to the published case record. This week's Because You Can site deals with shoes. From sandals to stiletto heels to cowboy boots, the history of the use and manufacture of footwear is more extensive than I could have imagined. Fortunately, there's a website to explain it all. Among the many details provided at this site are drawings of some of the strangest shoe contraptions and fashions you can imagine. How about the history of laws restricting the manufacture of shoes that were too long to walk in? Or shoes with clubs on the toes? Or maybe a contraption to keep sandals above the cobblestones and muck on the street? Check out the show notes for a link to this exciting and informative History of Shoes. Well, that's all for this week. Check back next week for another review. Remember, all the show notes are available at www.protopage.com/weeklyreview. And if you get a minute, leave a comment on the posting site. It'll be nice to hear from you. Going out now, ending the 6-month anniversary show with the Parlotones from the PodSafe Music Network and Overexposed.